Governments dole out more rescue funding to help economies reeling from the coronavirus crisis. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. European Central Bank President Christine Lagarde this morning said it's hard to forecast how badly the euro area economy has been impacted by COVID-19, but she projected it's likely to be between the central bank's medium and severe scenarios for contraction of between 8 and 12% this year. To mitigate the long-term pain, the European Commission this hour unveiled a fresh rescue plan that's sending European stock markets up between 1.2 and 1.8%. The BBC's Andrew Walker has the details.
The international health crisis has hit Europe hard but unevenly. The declines in economic activity so far have been widespread but more than twice as deep in some, such as Italy and Spain, as in Germany. The German Chancellor, Angela Merkel, has spoken of the need for European solidarity in responding. She and the French President, Emmanuel Macron, have already proposed a fund of more than $500 billion to make grants to affected countries, with the money to be raised by the European Commission borrowing in the financial markets. What the Commission itself proposes today is likely to be controversial. Some countries with relatively strong government finances are uneasy about grants and about moves towards collective borrowing. They have usually had Germany's support in the past, but the health crisis has persuaded Chancellor Merkel that the EU needs to adapt. I'm the BBC's Andrew Walker for Marketplace.
Meanwhile, Japan is preparing to unleash more than $1 trillion in additional spending to help businesses and households there. That's on top of a previous trillion-dollar plan announced last month. To put that in context, that amounts to spending of roughly $17,400 for each of Japan's more than 126 million people. Well, it's been reported that environmentally friendly policy initiatives may be key to helping governments fund these coronavirus rescue programs. In many parts of the world, bikes are increasingly seen as a two-pronged solution, helping reduce car pollution and making it easier for people to maintain social distancing while easing pressure on public transport systems. The BBC's Nisha Patel has that story.
I'm cycling towards the local park in this suburb of West London. Since lockdown in the UK, car traffic has been replaced with cyclists.
This boom in cycling has not gone unnoticed as governments grapple with getting people moving again in a socially distant way. There's a realization that cycling has a part to play in this. The British government was the latest to announce a $2.5 billion investment in cycling and walking. This is something close to the heart of former British Olympic cycling champion Chris Boardman. 3 years ago, he took on the role of cycling commissioner for Greater Manchester in the north of England.
So we've seen a drop in car use by 60%, a drop in public transport use of over 90%. But bikes are up 22%, and that's despite the fact that people have got less places to go. These are habits we want to sustain.
If you cast your memory back to before coronavirus, climate change was high on the agenda. Overnight, the virus has achieved something most governments believed would take decades, a dramatic decline in air pollution. This is what Paris sounded like before lockdown, notorious for high levels of traffic and pollution. As France eases restrictions, a government scheme has been launched. $21.7 million is being invested to keep people on two wheels.
My name is Charles Dassonville. I am a spokesperson for FUB, the French Bike Users Federation. It's very encouraging, and we could be gaining 5 to 10 years of bike advocacy work in just the space of a few weeks.
As France and other countries start moving again, it's likely that bike shops will be busier than ever. I'm the BBC's Nisha Patel for Marketplace.
With more people commuting on two wheels rather than four, that could deal a further blow to the car industry already struggling with the impact of coronavirus. Sales have collapsed, factories have closed, and thousands of jobs are now on the line. This week, the French government unveiled a more than $8.5 billion rescue package to help its car makers. Today, Renault, Nissan, and Mitsubishi outlined a strategy to help ensure their long-standing alliance weathers the crisis. David Bailey, professor at Birmingham Business School, explains.
To have a kind of what's called a leader-follower model. Renault to take the lead in Europe on medium-sized sports utility vehicles and electrification. The idea is that that will then help them cut costs for the alliance as a whole.
This alliance was already on shaky ground after the 2018 arrest of its architect, Carlos Ghosn. Does this new plan help secure the future of the partnership?
Well, what was interesting, of course, when Gowen fell from power is that he was apparently planning a full-blown merger to try and realise bigger cost savings. So whilst there's been an alliance, he effectively held it together through force of personality. There wasn't a really deep integration between the different firms. Now, the merger is off. They're looking for those cost savings and integration in other ways. Whether it's enough to really deliver that in what is going to be the biggest crisis the car industry has ever faced, I think is going to be the kind of $64 billion question.
How materially does this new plan kind of change the alliance or change their partnerships?
Fundamental problems will remain. It's a very unbalanced alliance. So Renault has a 43% stake in Nissan and has the ability to appoint key directors there. Nissan only has a 15% stake in Renault and no real power. And yet before this crisis, it was Nissan that was generating all of the profit. The other big problem is that the French government is about to support the French car industry to the tune of 8 billion euros, including a 5 billion loan guarantee to Nissan. It's about to become a much more active stakeholder in Nissan, where it has a shareholding. So there's more problems coming down the line.
David Bailey, Professor of Industrial Strategy at Birmingham Business School. Thank you.
Thank you.
Finally, one more check of the numbers for you. The Hang Seng and Shanghai Composite Index both ended down 0.3% today. That's after protests erupted in Hong Kong over Beijing's new sweeping security legislation. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.